all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good evening, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I get to be the host today on Veterans Radio. I want to start off first by congratulating our Detroit Tigers for winning the Central Division again in the Major League Baseball for the fourth time in a row. That was really exciting. I had the privilege of going to the game last night, which I guess I could say was not the privilege because 12-3 wasn't so good. But they did come through today, and we're very excited for them. And so everybody keep their fingers crossed here in the Southeast Michigan area, and hopefully the Tigers will make it to the World Series yet again and maybe actually take home the big prize. Everybody's going, yeah, we know that. And the Lions won. That's even more of an amazing story going on. I want to welcome you, as I said, to Veterans Radio. This is a program for veterans, by veterans, and it's for you, the American public, to find out what your veteran community is up to. And we've got a lot of things going on. I'm going to start out with a local activity that is occurring. And it's coming up on October 5th, 2014. And this is at the Firing Line Gun Range in Westland, Michigan, at 33,000 Ford Road, Westland, from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock. And it's going to benefit all Michigan veterans. It says there's a barbecue dinner, raffles, outdoor cigar bar, sponsored by Genuine Cigars. Door prizes, silent auction, range opens for shooting, as well as shooting events, ages 10 and up. This is a non-alcohol family event. Will take place outside in the rear parking lot with a DJ. Please dress accordingly. Come and have enjoy fun and have a great time. The benefit is going to be for our good friends at Camp Liberty. And Camp Liberty is a camp, I guess I could say, for veterans who are coming home, who are going to be able to go out into the country and kind of relax and meditate, and there's going to be hunting provided out there and fishing and family activities and all kinds of events like that. And so we're really excited to support Camp Liberty, and we encourage all of you to go to the Firing Line Indoor Gun Range and Gun Shop next week on October 5th at between 4 and 8 p.m. To support veterans and what they do and what Camp Liberty is doing for you and for all veterans around here. So we want to make sure that you get that, and we'll talk about that more later on. You can contact us here at Veterans Radio. There's two ways to. There's two phone numbers. One is local Southeast Michigan at 734-822-1600. The other is our toll-free number, and that is 844-838-1600. That's 844-VET. 1600. So feel free to give us a call if you like what we're talking about today on Veterans Radio, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting stuff, as they say. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and all kinds of different social media. I did want to ask you, I'm going to put a question out to you as our audience, what type of programming would you like to hear from Veterans Radio? Do you want us to tell war stories? Do you want us to talk about fundraising events for veterans, for wounded veterans? Do you want us to talk to authors? What's your favorite type of story? And maybe you've got some suggestions for us, and you can send me an email. That's Dale, D-A-L-E, at veteransradio.net, or you can go to our Facebook page, and you can put your comments up there, and we promise that we will read them and make the programming for you, because at the very beginning of Veterans Radio, we said that our programming was going to ultimately be determined by you, our listeners, so we're excited to do that. Coming up first on Veterans Radio today is I think it's a great story. And I'm going to welcome our guest onto Veterans Radio right now, and that is Lois Pope. And Lois, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Dale, thank you. It's wonderful to be with you today.
It is such an honor to have you on the program. And the reason it is such an honor is that you have spent the last 20 years almost raising money for an American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial that is going to be built on the Mall in Washington. And next week is the dedication?
That's right, October 5th. It's a week from today. And our memorial, the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial, will sit exactly, the site is exactly 1,000 feet from the United States Capitol, which
good place
picked
for
that
it.
Site because it's extremely important for our elected representatives, a and the Congress to know the human cost of war.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mrs. Pope, and I think that's a great idea to have that right outside their back door or their front door where they have to look at it every day. And maybe
absolutely. We want Congress to, I want them to think twice.
Three and four times.
Absolutely, and I want it to be a call to action also, because I really believe that the memorial is not only long overdue, but I want it to be a call to action to give these veterans, our disabled veterans, the care they need, deserve, and they've earned.
Well, this is a very timely subject, because the other part of the program today, we're going to be talking with a young man who's made a movie called Trooper, and he talks about some of the issues that veterans are going through today and have gone through over the last 40 and 50 years to, you know, get the benefits that they deserve and to get the recognition that they deserve. How did you come up with this idea?
I didn't. I was asked to do a benefit at the Rusk Rehabilitation Center in the middle 60s. And I went there not knowing that I was that really was for disabled American veterans. I thought maybe it was for polio victims, whatever. But anyway, I walked into a room, and the room was jammed with men on gurneys, lying on gurneys, hobbling on crutches, burned, some without, you know, where their eyes, sockets where eyes should have been, burned all over, amputees in wheelchairs. I was shocked. That was my first experience. And I must tell you that I started out as a young Broadway actress in musical theater, and I had I was naive and pretty clueless about the horrors that war can inflict on the minds and bodies of human beings. So I had no idea until that day. And I brought along a song to sing, and it was a song called Somewhere from West Side Story, which happened to be a popular show at that time. And as I got to the line, hold my hand and I'll take you there, I reached over to hold a young soldier's hand, and he had no hand for me to hold.
Oh, my.
That was the first of many lasting impressions, and it shaped my resolve, which to do something someday. I promised that someday I would do something. But then life went on. It does go on. I got married, had a career, etc. And years later, I stopped to place my hand on my cousin's name, first cousin, at the Vietnam Memorial.
Okay.
On that black granite wall. And beside me, multiple amputee. I mean, he had one hand to place some flowers on his buddy's name. He slumped over in his wheelchair, and I reached over to hold him. And at that very instant, my mind snapped back to all those years before at the Rusk Rehabilitation Center. And I thought, okay. So I walked out of the park, and I saw a park ranger, and I asked him where a memorial was for disabled veterans. He looked at a map, and he said there wasn't one. That did it. That sparked, that was it. That was the spark, that was the catalyst that sent me on this 16-year quest to build a memorial for disabled veterans.
As I said in the introduction, we're talking with Lois Pope, who is pushed this whole thing along, as you mentioned, for the last 16 years to get the whole thing built. How did you go about raising the funding for it and the idea? I have not seen
a picture
of this.
Well, you know, I wanted to build a memorial, Dale, but I didn't know how, no more than I knew how to build a house or anything else, but I had this passion. It takes passion. I was obsessed, so I didn't know how to do it, so I started calling the VA, Jesse Brown, who was then the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, and my assistant will tell you, she's been with me for 17 years, Karen Fleming. We called 5 days, every day, 5 days a week for 5 months until I finally reached him.
Oh.
He finally got on the phone, a most wonderful man. He believed in me. He believed in my dream, Jesse Brown. He got on the phone one day and he said, "This is Secretary Brown." I almost forgot what I was going to ask him. So I blurted out, "Mr. Secretary, how come there's no memorial for disabled vets in Washington, D.C.?" And he calmly said, "That's a good question." I said, "Will you help me?" And he said, "I will." and we made an appointment for me to meet with him the following week. And he then, in turn, introduced me to Arthur Wilson, who was then the national adjutant and CEO of the DAV.
Right, Disabled American Veterans.
Exactly, and then we formed a foundation, and that's how you have to form a foundation in order to raise the funds. But my mission, because of what I went through and because of what happened to me with Disabled American Veterans, the mission is to inform, educate, and remind people, our public, of the courage and sacrifices and continuing struggles. I mean, my God, long after the guns are silenced, they come back, and it's just beginning for them. It's just beginning. The struggles just begin for them to reintegrate, to try to get jobs, to go back to a new family life. That's, I mean, everything is new. So that's part of to raise the money at the foundation and to tell people what I didn't know. I didn't know. And how come I didn't know? I had a pretty good education. How come I didn't know? Why is this? Why, as a little girl, I just remember my dad buying little poppy, artificial poppies at parades that helped the veterans, supported their causes. How come I didn't know? Well, I want everybody to know now because I am passionate about this, and I want people to know. I want them to know what I didn't know, and I want them, this is a call to action, not just to get the best care, which they deserve and they've earned, but a call to Congress, too.
Right. Start paying attention. That's one of the things that we've always said here at Veterans Radio also. We just want our congressmen to tell the truth and to live up to their obligations to the veterans that are coming home. Many of us came home fine, but many of our friends either didn't come home at all or they've come home in a totally different physical state than they were or mental state when they left. And how to get them back into everyday life is such a challenge for them. And here on Veterans Radio, we've been talking to these men and women for almost 11 years now, and the stories of their courage and their determination to get back into a relatively normal life is the whole purpose of people like you and so many other men and women out there, the Wounded Warriors projects and some other projects out there. And I just want to thank you, Lois, for putting this whole thing together. Where can people find out more information, or maybe they can even make a donation?
Well, you know what? They don't have to make a donation anymore, and because we've raised the money. They don't have to do that. But I do want them to tell their friends about it and visit the memorial if they can, if they're in Washington. Mm-hmm. But this is a call to action for the more than 4 million living disabled veterans and the hundreds of thousands, the countless before them. I mean, strangely enough, I didn't realize how significant this would be because we're making history, and I want all the disabled veterans to know this. We're making history. They have made history, not me, they. Because this memorial is the nation's first permanent public tribute in our history to the 4 million living disabled veterans and all those who died before them. It's also the first in our history to honor the men and women of all five branches of the military services and in all of our nation's conflicts and wars.
Well, for the people that are out in the middle of middle America, is there some place they can go where they can see a picture of this memorial?
Absolutely. They can go on the website.
What is the website?
All right, hold on just a minute. We'll give you the website. But anyway, today the journey that began so many years ago in New York City has ended. But my fight, I want everybody to know this, my fight for you guys and my commitment to your cause endures. And you know what? Far too long you've been unsung heroes. And I'm telling everybody on Sunday, October 5th, unsung no more. Okay.
What time on October
5th? It'll be 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
On Sunday, October 5th.
All right.
And here we go. Yep, we're ready on the website.
Okay.
It is www.AV is in Victory, D is in David, LMMary.org. Okay, www.AVDLM.org.
Okay.
You'll see pictures. You'll see everything.
I can't wait to go and check that out, and we'll get that information up on our website so people can click on the link and see what's going on, and hopefully maybe some of them can show up next week at 11 a.m. in the mall in Washington, D.C.
It's the 12th memorial along the National Mall. It's the 12th one and the only one that's 1,000 feet. We're the closest to the United States, the U.S. Capitol. And that's the site I loved because it sends a message.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they hear it because we've elected those representatives. They're our elected representatives.
That's absolutely true. And as a life member of the Disabled American Veterans, I want to thank Lois Pope for doing this for all of the disabled veterans out there. And I want to thank you so very much from all of us at Veterans Radio for what you're doing. God bless.
God bless you too, Dale. And thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. That's pretty cool, I think. It's Lois Pope, and they are dedicating a memorial to the Disabled Veterans Memorial next weekend on Sunday at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C. For all of you that are listening out there on the East Coast, go down there and support Lois. I can't wait to take a look at the pictures of what the memorial looks like. Coming up in just a minute, we're going to be taking a look at a movie that kind of looks at some of the issues we just talked about with Lois Pope, and we have the producer and executive producer and a couple of the actors, and the movie is called Trooper, and I want to kind of warn you, when we come back from our break, I'm going to be playing the trailer from the movie, so you're going to have to listen very close, so get up really close to your radio and listen to this. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be right back after this message.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Keep your father waiting like that again, you old bastard.
I'm a hero, son.
What is that?
Come on.
To the Merc?
Welcome home.
Welcome home, Merc. I really love you, Merc. With you, but we can't be together. Wish you were.
Yeah,
but
should
we take anybody out?
Whoa, calm down. Take a look at these brochures. Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Your stress, that's it. Sick just like you.
That's great. I get to take your guy. You get to take mine. I got a lawyer.
Good.
He's going to represent.
Very good.
I love this country. I'm not going to piss on this. What kind of a country doesn't take care of its warriors when they come back home, Murph?
You still have a dotted line.
Okay. You in Iraq?
Do you know what happens to people when they blow the whistle? They gain your benefits! What benefits?
They don't want to pay you, bro. But they have to. You gain for your country, it's about time they start giving back to you.
I'm at the dead end street.
Walk proud, Murphy. You put in your time, you're a hero, copy?
You need my unit. Is it in your head? And you got to get it out of your head. You hear me? You get it out of your head!
I'm here for you. And you're here for me.
Sorry, my Scott.
He's dying, sis. Well, that's what soldiers do, brother. They die.
That was the trailer for the movie Trooper, and joining me on the line right now is the writer, director, producer, star. We've got the executive producer, military advisors, and everybody as many people as we can get on the program to talk about this amazing film that I had the privilege of seeing at the Military Writers Society's meeting. I believe it was in Orlando, Florida, about 4 or 5 years ago. But joining me on the line right now is the writer, director, producer, and that is Christopher Martin of Three Martini Productions. And Christopher, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hi, Dale. Thank you for having me again on the program.
It's a pleasure, and I'm gonna come right back to you in just a second. But we've got another caller on the line from way far away. In Germany, and that is Major Lori Renwick, and Lori was the executive producer and military advisor on the movie Trooper. And Lori, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. I appreciate you.
Wow, you sound like you're closer than Christopher is. I like the concept. I thought that, you know, it was really kind of interesting, both of you, when I thought about talking with Lois, and I didn't even think about it. And then I watched the trailer to the film again this morning, and I said, wow, this is kind of ties everything all together. And it just fell into place. And Christopher, could you just kind of give our audience a little background on the story, the storyline? We don't want to give it away, obviously, but it's such a powerful film.
Sure. It's about a soldier who comes back from Iraq. He's a National Guardsman. And when he comes back, he's experiencing all the usual, you know, PTSD symptoms. But upon, you know, home, he realizes his dad, who is a Vietnam vet, is dying. So it's not the best homecoming. And everything, his whole world kind of falls apart when he gets back. And he also starts to experience a bunch of strange health issues that are related to, you know, certain exposures in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, when he goes to the VA, they try to link his physical illness with PTSD, and it kind of pushes him over the edge. The film is really a story of hope and healing. It's about how the father and son take care of each other. They have a brother, he has a brother who's still in Iraq, who plays sort of, you know, the shut up and take it type mm-hmm. soldier. And, so, you know, it's a film about the same problems going on, you know, generation after generation of soldiers.
I just found it fascinating, and I have not seen it since I saw it before. And I was going, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on this thing, because I want to, you know, to show it around here and to let veterans see this thing, because I think the idea behind films that like yours that you're making is that you are not alone. For veterans that are, you know, that are out there, you know, listening to the program, mm-hmm. you know, you're not alone. There are so many people that are going through many of the same issues that you are, or that you know somebody that's going through some of those issues. And Laura, I wanted to ask your question, since you were the military advisor. How did you get involved in this?
I was really fortunate, Dale, to get involved through a writing seminar that I was with for veterans returning. And that is where I met Chris. He was also involved. We had an open mic, so to speak, poetry reading. And afterwards, we were talking, and it was really evident just from the first meeting, Chris's passion and love for veterans and the effort that he was really making with Trooper. It was actually post-production by the time I was involved with it, and he was gracious enough to let me start taking a look at it and kind of pinpointing things that I felt were, you know, specific for veterans and how real soldiers return and feel when they get back. Because I just want to state the most significant piece of this film for me was that it was pro-veteran. Mm-hmm. It's not about the war. It's not about being for or against the war. It's not about being for or against your government. It's about being for our veterans when they return. And that struck me the most in the movie, and that's when I immediately said, I need to be involved in this more closely, and started working with Chris and the other executive producers and really pinpointing and bringing the movie to fruition.
I think as I'm reading some of the reviews, and for our listeners, if you want to go look at the trailer yourself, you can go to triplemartiniproductions.com, and you can see the trailer there. You can also read some of the reviews, and I just wanted to check them with these things. We've only got a couple of minutes, so we're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour and then have you guys, you know, talk more about the film when we come back. But Reverend Bill McDonald, who happens to be the founder of the Military Writers Society of America, and a great author, I think, in his own right, said the Trooper is a new kind of film. It doesn't glorify war, nor does it send any anti-war message. It is instead about young warriors who are still battling or still fighting their own inner battles, when the gunfire is silent and the battlefields are thousands of miles away. And I don't think people understand that when soldiers come home, that the war isn't over yet, because now we have to figure out how we're going to work into the civilian part of the world. And, you know, because most of them don't have a, you know, an understanding or a clue as to what we went through. And just as Lois mentioned earlier on, when she saw these patients in the hospital there in New York, she didn't believe it. She couldn't understand, how come I've never seen these people? And it's unfortunate that we hide so many of these people away. Chris, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, this documentary, the my film, it was started with a documentary that I was editing, and you know, I was seeing, you know, interviews with real soldiers going through these problems, and I was forever affected and changed by it. That's what made me really want to make this film. And you know, I could never look at a soldier returning the same way, having known everything they were going through. So, you know, and one of the great things about our film is that because we're an independent film, you know, Lori was the producer, you know, I had some other producers. It was really up to us. We had no one telling us how to tell this story. So we were able to go further with, you know, further and darker and more hopeful just than most, you know, Hollywood movies. So that's why a lot of veterans who saw it identified with it. I think we did a good job.
I think you did too. We got to take a break, so I'm going to ask you to hold on. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to finish up this interview. I can't wait for it. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Dave Perkins, the Muslim who beheaded a woman in Oklahoma recovering from his gunshot wounds. The Blaze Radio's Greg Moore reports.
Alton Nolan is awake, under arrest, and talking to investigators. Nolan, who is a Muslim, beheaded a former co-worker on Thursday and stabbed another woman. The incident happening in Moore, Oklahoma, just south of Oklahoma City. Police Sergeant Jeremy Lewis says Alton was interviewed on Saturday.
Well, I can't get into, obviously, the specifics of what the interview detailed, but as far as him speaking with us, he did speak with investigators, and I would say it was a productive interview.
Lewis says information provided by witnesses to the attack prompted investigators to reach out to the FBI. Nolan had recently been trying to convert his former co-workers to Islam. Lewis says the sheer brutality of the crime shocked his fellow police officers.
It's still kind of unbelievable to me that it would happen anywhere, much less, you know, here in Oklahoma City.
KT McFarland comments on Fox News.
It's not workplace violence. It's not a disgruntled employee. It's somebody who has been radicalized, probably online, maybe with a hate cleric, and he's decided to go make war. And somebody has encouraged him. Somebody has inspired him. Somebody has taught him how to do what he's doing. And that's the guy we have to watch out for, because nobody's safe then.
A manhunt underway in Ferguson, Missouri. The Blaze Radio's Chris Vermillion.
The search is on for two armed suspects after a police officer on routine patrol in Ferguson, Missouri, spots two men trying to break into a local business, confronts them, and they open fire. The shooters believed to have fled into the nearby woods. Missouri State Police Captain Ron Johnson assuring protesters still in the street over the Michael Brown shooting that only the officer was shot.
I'm Dave Perkins. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives.
Schoolcraft College is proud to have served the communities of Southeast Michigan for five decades. So it should come as no surprise that they're just as committed to serving those who have served our country. Schoolcraft College Veteran Services provides assistance to veterans using their educational benefits. They help with the VA benefits application process, provide academic advising, and plan programs of study according to VA guidelines. Classes are forming now in Livonia and Garden City. Visit schoolcraft.edu for more information.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Sergeant First Class Randall Shugart requested three times to be inserted into a hot fire zone to protect a downed helicopter crew. Details after this.
The Air Force is the only branch of service with its own community college. It's called the Community College of the Air Force, and it makes a difference. You see, in the Air Force, you earn college credit for learning your job. You can earn an associate's degree in one of 66 career fields. Your job experience goes farther in the Air Force. For more information, call 1-800-423-USAF or log on at airforce.com. Cross into the blue with the U.S. Air Force. No one comes close.
On October 3, 1993, while serving as a sniper team member in Somalia, Shughart provided precision sniper fire from the lead helicopter during an assault on a building and at two helicopter crash sites. While providing critical suppressive fire at the second crash site, Shughart and his team leader learned that ground forces were not immediately available to secure the site. Shughart and his team leader unhesitatingly volunteered to be inserted to protect the four critically wounded personnel, despite being well aware of the growing number of enemy personnel closing in on the site. After their third request to be inserted, his team leader received permission to perform this volunteer mission. Shughart and his team leader were inserted 100 meters south of the crash site. Equipped with only his sniper rifle and a pistol, Shughart and his team leader, while under intense small arms fire from the enemy, fought their way to reach the critically injured crew members. Shughart pulled the pilot and the other crew members from the aircraft, established a perimeter which placed him and his fellow sniper in the most vulnerable position. Shughart used his long-range rifle and sidearm to kill attackers, thus protecting the downed crew. Shughart continued his protective fire until he depleted his ammunition and was fatally wounded. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and I thought that was rather timely there with the Medal of Honor for Shughart about helicopters, because I see here also that, Lori, you are a rated pilot.
I am, yes.
Congratulations. I
Apache helicopters.
I love them. I mean, that's what I did, too. But I need a ride in Apache. We have to figure out how we can do this at some point down there. We are talking with Christopher Martini and also with Lori Renwick about the movie Trooper. And Christopher was telling us how he, you know, It just sounds like that you were inspired after meeting some veterans and said, okay, we got to figure out how we can protect these men and women and make sure that they are taken care of and that they get whatever benefits that they are entitled to. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, it just, they wrote a blank check for us, you know, and it's just not happening for them when they come back. And, you know, the thing that disturbed me most is just how little people know about this. You know, the civilian population, you know, for the most part has no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it angers me. It gets me very emotional. I think that those were the emotions that were behind everything I was doing. And, you know, I've been working on this since 2008, so it's been a real labor of love, and we've finally been able to release it.
So, what took so long? Was it lack of funding, or what?
Well, the whole, you know, the whole process. We did the festival route. We won some awards, and for a long time we were waiting to get permission from, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Bob Dylan for a track of music.
Okay.
And, you know, our wonderful producer, Beth Rosenblatt, was able to secure that. You know, and just the whole process of, you know, waiting for festivals, waiting to talk to distributors, doing like back and forth, you know, also, you know, finishing the film, getting all the elements in place. It just, you know, it takes a long time when you're not a big studio, but, you know, I chose the right subject because, you know, veterans is something that I care deeply about. I always have. My brother, who's an actor, is in the film, the same thing. We both mm-hmm. are trying to do a lot for veterans and, you know, so when you have that fuel behind you, you can go even further. And it's, you know, it's like I could never stop wanting to get this film out there because I had seen the faces of the veterans watching and I had seen, you know, tears in their eyes. They had come up to me after I had made friends with them. So, you know, And these are people who, by principle, never give up. So,
right.
You know,
never
how
give up,
could
never
I?
Surrender. That's their, I think that's their mantra, is to never give up and never surrender.
Right.
Lori, you
and
must,
Dale, I'd like to say,
right
too,
ahead.
In this, that even though we've been working on this project for 6 years, the topic is still so relevant, and we're seeing it more and more in the news, and it just keeps repeating. And you just have to wonder, like, when is somebody going to make a difference?
Oh,
and
I
this was our
are.
Little way to hopefully do that.
I think it's so important that people like you, put these films together, get those films out, just to get people to have a dialogue and to talk about it. Because, you know, we hear, well, the VA hospital is, you know, messing up here, and this is going wrong over here, and, you know, we've got less than 1% of the population is now involved in the military, and we have to get the word out and let, as you pointed out, Christopher, about, you know, this blank check thing. It's cliche, but it's true. You know, those of us,
it's very
you
true.
Know, everybody that served, we signed this paper that said, okay, you can do with me what you want, you know, just don't throw me away when I get home. And unfortunately, it sounds like some people have been thrown away, and we got to make sure that we and help them as much as we can. And I admire you, and I can't wait to get a hold of a copy of this movie, because I have so many people I want to show it to, and I'm trying to figure out. Gee, I wonder if I could get a hold of, you know, the local theater and would they show it, and then we could, you know, use it as a fundraiser, because I know you've probably got some other ideas going on in your head, and the same with you, Lori.
Well, Dale, let me just cut in there so anyone listening knows how they can see it. You know, we're thrilled that we're finally able to release this film, and so what we're doing is on Veterans Day, we're doing a streaming release where you can go to this web address, and the film will be available to watch on November 11th on Veterans Day, mm-hmm. and you can pre-order it now. And I'm just going to get the link out of the way so everyone has it, but it's vimeo.com/on-demand/trooper. I'll just say it one more time. It's vimeo.com/on-demand/trooper. That's where people can see the film starting Veterans Day. You can pre-order it now. And then in January, we're doing a wide release where the DVD is going to be available in all chains and VOD and all digital.
Okay, well, send me an email and remind me of that, and we'll publicize that just before Veterans Day. Because I do. I strongly encourage people to go out and watch this film. Whether you've been in the service or not, I think it's going to be an eye-opener for all of you, and us included. It was very powerful. I know, I think I was one of the ones that, you know, when it was over, I said, you know, keep the lights off for just a little bit longer, please. So, you know.
So many people have been waiting for this film to come out. And so we're just thrilled that that's going to happen.
Well, Christopher and Lori, I want to thank both of you for all the effort that you put forward in putting out Trooper. And I encourage people to go to Christopher's website, the Three Martini. I love that. ThreeMartiniProductions.com. And joining me on the line right now is the guy that turned me on to you folks. And this is the current president of the Military Writers Society of America. And Dwight Zimmerman, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, are you there?
I are here.
Dale, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay. Dale, I'm so happy to be here. If the connection crackles a bit, it's because I am in a van in a canyon in Arizona. We just had our MWSA conference. Can we just sit here for a moment, please? Okay. Because here the signal is strong enough that I can talk.
Well, I wanted to tell you that we've just, you know, been talking with Christopher and Lori about Trooper, and I wanted you to kind of throw in your two cents about what you feel about it, because you're the one that introduced me to these folks.
Yeah. I was so thrilled when I to make that all happen down in Orlando. The origin of that was so it almost started out like a a bad joke. A writer walks into a local bar and he sees the bartender talking to a stranger, and it turns out that the stranger was an associate producer for an independent film, and he was location shooting, trying to find a place that they could use as the house, the residence for the lead character in Trooper. One thing leads to another. I find out this guy's from South Dakota. I'm from North Dakota. So we swap lots about our respective home states. And I learn about the movie, and I say, hey, let me show you my house. I think it would be perfect for the kind of movie that you're talking about. I walked him down to my place. He took some photos, showed them to, you know, Chris and other people and the executives. They came and saw the house. They liked it. One thing led to another. I was reading the script. Everything, I found it to be a powerful story. And the next thing I know, our house is a location for Trooper.
I thought it looked familiar.
Yes, you've been at my place.
That's right, I have. Oh my goodness, that's a great story. I'm glad that worked out that way.
Dwight's house is actually was the perfect character for this family of veterans. The house itself has so much character.
It does. It has so many nooks and crannies. Is one thing it has. That's for sure.
And it was just so much fun and fascinating watching them assemble it, and then after the principal photography was done, Chris generously offered to help me screen it and make some additional comments, and which I did. And we had a great back and forth brainstorming, spotting holes, finding out, working together to find out solutions for particular scenes, a little transitional material, minor stuff. But the upshot was that Chris generously, I was just selling a house for the location, and next thing I know, I'm an associate producer.
I didn't see your picture in a press kit. It must have been on page 34.
Why, you're actually a producer, not an associate producer.
Oh, see, there you go. I'm going to have to go pay attention to this. Well, and, we got to take another break here coming up on our last break. But, Lori, I want to thank you very much for calling in from Germany especially, and I wish you well with your career, not only in the military, but as a potential film writer, it sounds like, or script writer. And I'd like to talk to you and Chris again at some time in the future about these veterans writing programs, if you'd be willing to do that. You still there? Oh, I think I lost you.
Dale, Lori actually might not have been able to do this whole call. I know she's got her hands full out there in Germany deployed. So.
That's all right. Well, I was talking to both of you because you both had mentioned the idea of this. That's where you met, at a veterans writing seminar of some sort. And I just read something the other day about that there's an organization out there rereading some of the classic Greek tragedies and rewriting them as veterans, and they can see how Achilles and all the other Greek heroes went through some of the same issues 3,000 years ago that they're going through today.
Oh yeah, I found just from witnessing the veterans reading their own poetry that it was very therapeutic, and the same as making a film and being involved in a film about their own experiences. It's a way to communicate things. You can also do it with music so that you get these feelings out in the open, which, is a better platform for healing.
Absolutely. That's why I do radio. It has been better for me than almost any therapy I've talked to anybody about. But anyway, Christopher Martini, producer, director, star, all the other things of Trooper. I encourage people to go to the website, Triple Martini Productions, and you'll find out more information about it. And I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio, and give my regards to Lori and tell her I want to talk to her about that project.
Thank you so much, Dale. Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be talking again. Dwight, I want you to hold on the line because I want to find out what was going on at the Military Writers Society's annual conference in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
That you are coming home from. So if you'll hold on the line, we'll be right back after these messages.
Living at American House is like being on a cruise ship with all the lovely surroundings, the many, many activities, and the people to share with. It's so comfortable to be here. I feel safe. I don't have to shop. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean up.
When you move into an American House senior living community, you open the door to a new world of possibilities. Our life enrichment directors are committed to enhancing the lives of residents every day. We look forward to finding out what interests you.
I just get dressed up and walk down to the dining room and enjoy my meals in the company of other people at my table.
For more moments made in American House, go to AmericanHouse.com. Again, that's AmericanHouse.com. Or watch us at YouTube.com/AmericanHouseLiving.
Living here has enriched my life. I'm Carol Huck, and I made in American House.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and we've been talking about a movie entitled Trooper. We've been talking about the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial, which I looked up on the website during a break, and it's going to be really exciting to go to Washington and look at this memorial. And I think what Lois said about putting it right where Congress has to look at it, maybe we can get their attention, folks out there. So I got to remind everybody out there, you know, that there's this election thing coming up in November, and we really want you to go out there and ask your candidates how they feel about the veterans, how they feel about supporting the veterans' activities and their health care especially. There are many, many veterans that are getting older, and they're going to be going into the VA system. And they've never been there before, and they need to make sure it's a first-class system once you're in, but we need to make sure that there's enough doctors and enough clinics and so forth to take care of these men and women that are going to be utilizing those facilities. So ask your congressman. If they don't answer you correctly, vote for the other person. Anyway, joining me back on the line is our good friend Dwight Zimmerman, who sounds like he's on a burro going across Arizona probably to get to the airport, correct?
Well, actually, I'm taking a little break, and later this evening, I have a red-eye back to Brooklyn, New York. So we're taking advantage of the day. Joyce Faulkner, my predecessor as president, and Pat Avery, our MWSA treasurer, we were taking a day trip to see the beautiful sights of Arizona, and we're right now in a canyon parked. I horse-woggled there. Heidi, our excellent tour guide leader, that pleaded to say, just stop. I have a signal right now, so I can talk.
Well, please say hi to Joyce and to Pat for me and tell them I'm sorry I didn't get to this year's conference. Where is next year's conference?
It will be at Phoenix at the Holiday Inn and Suites. They have a great staff. They rolled out the red carpet for us. As you know, MWSA, Military Writers Society of America, has more than 1,000 members. And this is our annual conference. Most of our members are veterans or family members of veterans, and we are dedicated to telling the story of America's military and assisting veterans and their families in writing, using it as a means to tell stories and also as therapy to, you know, help heal this process.
Right. That's as we were just talking about with Christopher Lori, about that.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I'm anxious to do a program about that in the future because I just saw this on a TV news show the other day, and I went, wow, this is so cool. Because we've had Jonathan Shea on, who is an expert. He wrote the book, I believe it was Achilles in Vietnam, I think so, or one of those, and relating the history of warriors to today's warriors. And we've got to make sure that we keep these young men and women aware of the fact that we care so much about them, that we want to, you know, want to do everything possible to take care of them. But I digress. I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
I am digressing because we've got about 5 minutes left. And so we have this big conference, and this is where you give out all your awards to people. And I'm not going to ask you to list all of the awards, but if you send me an email or a link, I'll send our people to you. because this is where we get many of the guests here on Veterans Radio. And I've had the privilege of meeting some incredible men and women who have just amazing stories to tell, and I know that our audience loves these. So
yes, I will be happy to send you an email there. You know, I just want to mention, since we're near the end of the program, a couple of high points.
Okay, okay.
We did go to the VA in Phoenix. Our second year of soliciting book donations from our members. We started it in Dayton. It was a huge success. Members donated more than 500 books, and the VA there was so grateful. Veterans were just, it was just the interest that they had for what we were doing was just absolutely great. This year, I'm happy to say that our members, you know, poured out even more. We had more than 900 books were donated by members.
Wow.
The estimated value was $18,000 worth of books that were donated, and it was just absolutely fantastic to see how the veterans there, the patients were reacting.
They love that. I don't mean to step on you, but I wanted to jump in because, you know, doing this program now for 11 years, I get a lot of books in the mail, and the vast majority of them I try to read, but my wife has told me I can't keep them at home anymore. So so I have taken I don't know how many boxes of these books up to the VA hospital here in Ann Arbor, and they do. They just love them, and, even in the greeting area of the VA, as soon as the boxes come in, I turn around and I go back and they're empty because, here's one for Korea, here's World War II, here's Vietnam, here's Iraq, and all these other things. And it's such a good feeling of being able to share these amazing stories. So anyway, go ahead. So what happened at the conference this year?
We offer a wide variety of seminars and writing workshop sessions, how to market, how to construct a story, how to market the story, essentially, and a lot of one-on-one because we have experienced writers, some people just entering it. I was happy to say we had a lot of new faces arrive. We have a lot of regulars, mm-hmm. and the takeaway from this at the end, it was just such a wonderful outpouring of interest and enthusiasm and gratitude. People were just absolutely, so many people said, we've been to many conferences over the years, and this has been the best one because everyone just embraces each other. We're all equal, we're all interested, and people were just so helpful in for first-time people, the mutual outreach and assistance. I was just so thrilled, and another hot point was we partnered with the Phoenix Police Department to do a student writing contest, and boy, did we get some great, great entries from students. It was really difficult for our judges to winnow the entries, and then I had the honor and sad duty of making the final cut.
Oh.
Why was that hard? But, geez, did we have such great pieces. Mm-hmm. And I was happy to say that the winners and their families were able to make it. We honored them with medals, a certificate, and a cash prize. And they were just so thrilled. It was nice, Dale.
They are nice. I've been to three or four of these things, and they're amazing because the people that are there are you guys want to help other writers. And,
yes.
You know, you want people to succeed, and that's kind of unusual in a competitive field like, you know, writing can be. But everybody that I've ever met through the association has been so helpful to each other and to me especially, because tell Mike I'll get to the book eventually. I'm working on it. So who was the big winner this year?
I would say it was Joyce Faulkner. She received the President's Award.
Oh, okay.
As you know, she's contributed so much to the organization. She was my predecessor as president. And one of the great pleasures I had was to be in a position to honor her for her dedication, her hard work, being insanely helpful to everybody at every level. It was a richly deserved award. The Founders Award, which is our organization's highest honor, went to a group both CTS, which stands for Consider the Source.
Mm-hmm.
They have done huge outreach for veterans, sponsoring all kinds of concerts, fundraisers. You have to go. They have a website. Unfortunately, as I said, I'm in transit right now, so
that's
I don't
all right.
have.
We'll get it up there. And actually, we're kind of running out of time anyway. But
okay.
So if I wanted to find information out about the Military Writers Society of America, where would I go?
Our website is www.mwsadispatches.com.
That's the place, and that's where you're going to find access to all of these amazing writers, and you can become a member of the association, and they will help you. And their seminars are really great, and we're down to a minute, I see you out there. And, Dwight, so, I want to make sure that you tell Joyce and Pat and all the other people there, thank them all so very much for the support that they've given Veterans Radio over the years, and we will continue to support you folks, and I look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thank you.
All right, enjoy the rest of your day, Dwight. Well, that was Dwight Zimmerman, President of the Military Writers Society of America. I've been on the website looking at the mall for the American Veterans Disabled for Life Memorial. Boy, folks, you got to go and check that out. It's fascinating. You're here on Veterans Radio. We can't wait for you to come back next week. I want you to make sure that if you have any story ideas, you let us know. You can send it to me, dale@veteransradio.net, or Bob or jim@veteransradio.net, and we will follow up with you. Any events, let us know. We want to publicize everything we can about veterans. So, from Veterans Radio and here at WAAM in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we want to thank you all very much for listening, and you are dismissed.